The amount of dancing in the studio is just boggles the mind.
I'm frequently confused with Fred Astaire. I'm that graceful on my feet.
You're confused with him. Is your social security number similar?
Yeah, that's the problem. Just a couple of digits reversed. And
I just had to ask because I've seen you dance, and well, okay.
I dance like a white guy.
I do too.
Yeah.
So I noticed, and you'll note I wasn't dancing during that. There's a reason for that.
Because you dance like a white guy too.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Without a doubt, I have zero rhythm. That's why I'm in this business. That's why I don't make music.
Well, you know, many people in radio, especially music radio, mm-hmm. are there because of being frustrated musicians.
No, I've heard of that.
If you can't do it, then you play it.
I guess. in which case, you know, since we're in talk radio, I guess it's because we're frustrated windbags.
Right.
You know? But that's all I can figure.
Yeah.
So
we prove that on a daily basis.
Daily, hourly, minutely, yes. Something. But anyway, some news came out. Found this interesting. Of course, yesterday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, celebrating. Mm-hmm. It's his birthday, right? That's the date his birthday? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're celebrating his legacy, the things that he had to say, the things that he stood for, and that his legacy still stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of that, an announcement went out from the NAACP. Now, this was in South Carolina, where Tim Scott is senator in that state. Tim Scott, he's a Republican, conservative, and he also happens to be African American. The NAACP official in that state.
Actually, just to be completely correct, the NAACP official is from North Carolina.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected on that. From North Carolina. His name is Reverend William Barber II, and he said that a ventriloquist can always find a good dummy, which I thought to myself, all right. Now, I know what the NAACP is about. We've heard from them for over the years. But if you look at what their organization is, just by the name of it, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, that's what it stands for. If they are for the advancement of African Americans everywhere, Tim Scott's presence in the Republican Party and in the Senate should be a good thing, I would think. Say, all right, we've got somebody in there. Terrific. It shows equality. It shows that people are willing to judge a person by what they believe and not what they look like.
And I couldn't disagree more.
Okay.
I think that they have a right to be critical of people of color who are not helping advance the interests of people of color. And I don't, you know, President Obama here just in the last few days talked peripherally about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that there are people who are opposed to him simply because he's black.
Mm-hmm.
And he also went on to say, and that there are people who are willing to cut him slack because he's black.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't treating people equally. And I think gay people can criticize gay people without becoming anti-gay. And I think that this reverend, who I don't know if he was speaking as the president of the NAACP or just his personal opinion, but either way, he has a right to be critical of a black person that he thinks is not advancing the interests of people of color.
Let me ask you this question. Are you familiar with Tim Scott at all?
No.
Okay. So I guess you're basing and saying that this reverend is saying that, not necessarily you personally, are saying that he's getting in the way of the agenda and that kind of thing. Is that kind of – I'm trying to track with you here.
I'm saying that I have no idea if William Barber II is correct in his analysis of this guy. I'm saying I'm not appalled that a black person would be critical of a black politician. If that politician is espousing ideas that they didn't bring race into this, they just said he's a ventriloquist dummy and that somebody's telling him what to say. I don't see where race has anything to do with that comment. And if that's the way he feels, I don't think he should have censored himself and said, oh, no, never say anything bad about a person of color. Never be critical. I think that's still being racist. He should espouse either both of these guys ought to say what's on their mind. And to do it in a non-racially offensive way. And he didn't say anything about Tim Scott. He just said he's a puppet. And
well, that actually is saying something about him by saying he can't think for himself.
But
if you're saying that, he's because you're basically saying he's just he's parroting the line from the Republicans and that's it. He can't think for himself. That's what ventriloquist finding a good dummy would tend to mean to people.
Oh, and I understand the sentiment of what they were saying in that, but it's not, race has nothing to do with it. This guy was being critical of a politician and and saying he's just towing the party line. These are not his original thoughts. He's doing as he's told by his political party. And to support him, even if he's wrong, just because he's black, is racism. You should support people you agree with and be critical of people you disagree with.
Now, at the same time, though, if you've got an organization that is basically standing up for the advancement of a certain race of people, based on your description just now, would that not also be a racist organization? Now, I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying if you look at that description, would that not be a racist thing to do?
No, I don't see where having a group of people who agree on a mission, so to speak, they're not saying we are doing this to put down the rights of white people, for instance. They're just saying we have this common interest. We'd like to see less discrimination in the country, a more egalitarian society. And I don't see that that's racist. Racist would say they want to be superior. They want to put other people down to advance their cause.
Sure.
And I've never heard the NAACP say we want to discriminate against white people to make life better for people of color.
Oh, so they don't stand for affirmative action then?
I have no – I would suspect they do.
Okay, because affirmative action tends to say, well, that will favor people of a certain race because they are that. That's the basics of it.
Well, yeah, but that's because of a long history of overt – racial discrimination and lowering the right to vote. We're going through a period of this again where Republicans in the South are trying to reduce the number of people of color voting.
Do you get that?
All this North Carolina has done more to undo the progress we have made in taking Jim Crow laws off the books. And the whole point of this made-up voter fraud issue is the movement to photo ID to vote is a way of reducing the number of Democratic votes. And so that is every bit as racist as this comment the NAACP made, if that's the way you want to interpret
this. All right. First of all, voter ID is not something that has to do with race or anything else. It has to do with protecting people's right to vote. One person, one vote. And we've seen, stories from, I saw a story just after the 2012 election, said that a woman who was working the polls, a poll worker, one of these volunteers, voted several times.
Mm-hmm.
And voted several times for Obama.
And
that's something. So voter fraud takes place. Let me finish. It's something that would guarantee every person, you get one vote, and here's how we make sure of it. And if you're going to check IDs for things like buying alcohol, doesn't it make sense to check your ID to say, all right, cool, you are who you say you are, step up, you can go ahead and vote.
Jeremy, that's just cover for taking away voting rights for people who don't have driver's licenses and don't have the financial wherewithal to come up with the photo ID that's required.
They can't afford free?
There is...
can't afford free? It's free in those states. They offer them a free picture ID.
But they have to get to a Secretary of State's office.
Mm-hmm.
They have to jump through a lot of hoops to get that. And
to get a free ID, they have to jump through hoops, so it's inconvenient, basically, is what you're saying.
Yes.
It's also inconvenient to go vote. Make it easy to go vote. I'd love to vote in my own living room.
And that's exactly why they're doing it. They're making it inconvenient for people they don't want to vote.
It has nothing to do with it. It's about keeping people.
Jeremy, live in the real world.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, come on.
Live in the real world.
You get on my case for that. I am not going to let you get by with that.
With what?
You just insulted me. You just said live in the real world.
You're defending overt discrimination to reduce voting.
I am not defending discrimination. I am defending the right of people to have one vote. That's it. No more than one vote. How many times have we heard about people voter fraud? Like I said, there's been stories of it just from the last election.
Very small amounts. Not enough to ever have changed the results of an election.
So it shouldn't bother you if you come up with a system to say, hey, we want to make sure that you are who you say you are so that you can go ahead and step up and vote. That way you don't have people who aren't citizens who are voting. You don't have people who are voting 9, 12, 15 times
candidates. You keep saying like that, like it's a real problem.
It is a real problem.
No, it isn't.
It's a real
problem. And why are they reducing the amount of time to vote? Why are they reducing days where you can vote? Where they had extended voting last year, and this year we're shortening it. We used to be able to vote on Sundays in some states, and in many states that's been taken away because it was black churches that voted on Sundays. You tell me they're shortening the voting window.
Do you still have the ability to vote absentee?
I don't know what the state laws in
North Carolina. Answer the question. Do you still have the ability to vote absentee in this country?
I don't know what North Carolina's laws are.
I'm talking in general.
Yes.
Okay. So how does that reduce the opportunity to vote if you have the ability to vote whenever you want?
Jeremy, you answer, why is it we're shortening the window for voting if it's not to make it less, to more difficult for some people to vote? How is that making our election safer you reduce the window of time where you can vote?
How does it shorten the window of time you can vote if you can vote absentee and do it whenever you want? That doesn't shorten the window.
Why was it changed?
That offers you the opportunity to vote whenever you want.
What's the motivation of people changing it?
Let's go to George. George, you're in Dowling. Welcome.
Well, I would insult Roger at this point, I guess. I'd say let's take and make the, I assume they have to have a picture ID to get welfare. And if that's the case, then I'll bet they have their picture ID, and this is just an excuse that they don't want to have it to go vote. If the thing is free, and I have to have an ID to go into the Secretary of State's office in Lansing and my representative's office, I have to have an ID to get on an airplane here, a picture ID in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I want Roger's group to get that all outlawed so that I don't have to have an ID. Because I'm inconvenienced as hop by having to have that picture ID when I go fly, Roger.
George, the fact that you link this to welfare, which has nothing to do with what we're talking about, smacks to me of racism. We aren't talking about welfare here.
There's white people on welfare.
Yeah, right.
Racism stuff. I just say that there's other places they have to have a picture ID, like was brought up, to go buy booze in some states, in every state, I assume. So if they can have it for that, then don't let any person who goes and buys booze say they can't have a picture ID to go vote. And if there's no cost to the picture ID out of their pocket, dollars and cents, just the inconvenience one time of going and getting your picture taken, then they don't want to vote.
Thanks for your opinion, George.
Yes.
Okay, we move on to Sarah on the line. Sarah, you're with us. Welcome.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Just fine.
Well, I had another question similar to the gentleman's that was just on, except for Roger mentioned that many of these people don't have the wherewithal or the transportation to get to the Secretary of State to get this inconvenience of this picture. However, there was transportation providing all of these people to get to the voting booth. And so maybe that same group that is transporting these people to the voting booth could also transport them in groups to the Secretary of State. How about that?
Okay. I don't disagree with that.
Okay. If
they have rigged the laws that's required, then hopefully
the
groups will step up and help people accommodate the rigging of the election laws.
That's not rigging election laws.
Jeremy.
It's making sure people get the chance to vote and have their vote count.
Exactly.
Point to me where there was
a
problem that necessitated all this change. The amount of electoral fraud in this country is minuscule, and we are making broad-based changes across a number of states.
How is it broad?
And a lot of it is being driven by ALEC, the Koch brothers-funded organization.
How is it broad to say to someone, okay, you just have to prove you are who you say you are when you step up here to vote? How is that a broad change?
We're changing the number of days that people are allowed to vote. We are changing where the polling locations are. It isn't just one thing. It is a full plan to interfere with people of color's right to vote.
Yes, there is this whole just backroom plan that they're putting together to get people to not vote. Come on.
It's the Koch brothers.
Come on. That has nothing to do. It's about making sure people's votes count. Don't you want your
You're
vote to count?
You're just making that up,
don't you
Jeremy.
Don't you want your vote to count the same as mine
there's
does?
There's no voter fraud that takes place in this country virtually. It is
less than
minuscule, mm-hmm. tenths of a percent.
Uh-huh.
When we come back, I will give you facts and figures on the amount of voter fraud in this country.
Show continues ahead. Make sure you keep it right here. The program, it's called Lawrence and Taylor. That's what it's called, isn't it?
You're the Lawrence part, right?
Yes, I am.
I'm the
I
Taylor
think so.
Part.
Yes. Yeah,
I think we've got this figured out.
Works. All right.
And they said we couldn't be trained.
Of course. Of course. So the program continues ahead. We've been talking about, well, all sorts of stuff. And you know what? I wish we had tons of time to talk about it. We don't have a lot because we got news coming up here very, very quickly.
So if you're on the line, hold on.
Please
and as
do.
Soon as we get past a CBS News update and some local news, we'll get back to you.
Please do. And if you'd like to call in and discuss all of this, I mean, we're talking voter ID and all of that, give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Lawrence and Taylor continues straight ahead. Record scratching provided by Michael.
Yep.
He's good.
I am really good at that. I'm learning.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. I didn't see any turntables in there, so that's even better.
Yeah.
I don't know how you pull it off.
You can do it without a turntable.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can do that, you know, do like the beatbox and that
kind of
thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Apparently Michael can do that.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So, okay.
They have a video game all about that called DJ Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually sell a separate turntable or mm-hmm. something, so you can attempt that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would even attempt that.
Yeah, I haven't attempted that.
Absolutely no rhythm whatsoever.
I think we need to have you work on that. I'd like to see a demonstration here in the next... I'll give you 2 weeks. You think that'll be enough?
So I got to go out and get the game and then hook it up to one of the TVs in here?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I suppose he could video himself.
Yeah, you can do it at home and just bring in a videotape.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want you screwing up equipment.
If I lug that around, I mean, that's a lot to lug around.
Certainly. You do it at home and have a friend shoot video of you doing it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I got a tripod. I could just put the camera on that.
Well, then you don't even to have anybody in the room.
You don't have to have friends for this.
Though. Yeah, which will be easy for you.
Oh,
ouch.
Man.
Ouch.
Hey, before the break, we were talking about voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And from USA Today, analysis between 2000 and 2010, there were 2,068 reported fraud cases by News 21, a Carnegie Knight investigative reporting project.
Mm-hmm.
And with 146 million registered voters in the United States, if all of those cases were true, which they weren't, but if all of them were true, that would represent one fraudulent vote for every 15 million legitimate votes. One out of 15 million. I'm not seeing the magnitude of fraud that that was concerning you.
Okay, you're coming up with those numbers. I've got some numbers over here as well. What do you do?
Where are your numbers from? Mine's from USA Today.
What do you do? Well, it's from an organization called True the Vote. They have it linked to news organizations.
Oh, True the Vote is a real right-wing organization.
Oh, yes, of course. And they're lying about everything, so let's not even talk about them, even though they link up with news organizations all over the country for their statistics.
I do not trust anything that came from True the Vote.
Even if they have a link to someone else that is independent.
I don't care.
Okay, so Roger...
True the Vote is not a legitimate organization.
You were listening. Roger is saying that no news organization in the country is legitimate if somebody links to them.
And we got that on record.
That's not what I said.
That's what you just said, because if they're linking to news organizations... No, wait a minute.
True the Vote.
They're linking to news organizations all over the country to get their data.
Okay.
If they have the data...
Then go through this and tell me where True the Vote got the data. Don't give me True the Vote's data. You tell me where they got their data.
Well, there's data from a lot of different sources, and you have to dig in to find it.
Share with us where they got their data.
Okay. First of all, to date, 46 states have prosecuted or convicted cases of voter fraud. It goes down state by state, links to various news organizations in various states, in those states, linking to stories. Like, for instance, there's one from Alaska, goes through an organization called the LedgerInquirer.com. Kingman Daily Miner from Arizona, there's an article that they link to there.
Yeah, there's been, according to what I was looking at, 2,000 cases, mm-hmm. Jeremy.
But
so
going,
you're reporting going, some of these 2,000.
But they're going through that. Now, in terms of potential, let's look at this. 24 million voter registrations are invalid to date, but they're still on the rolls. 1.8 million dead voters still eligible to vote.
How many of them are voting? Just because they're out there on the voter rolls doesn't mean there's somebody impersonating them and going to the poll and trying to vote under a dead person's name.
So shouldn't we maybe guarantee that that won't happen? And offer
maybe
up, okay, here's a chance for you to prove who you are. And if you are that person, it shouldn't be a trouble to pull out an ID that, by the way, in these states, they will get to you for free and say, yeah, here's who I am. I prove who I am. They say, okay, here's your ballot. Go vote.
Jeremy, for every 15 million legitimate votes, if every one of the cases of voter fraud that this True the Vote site is referring to, if every one of them is true, which is doubtful.
Of course, because they're lying to everyone.
No, that,
yeah, they're not interested in making sure that your vote counts
that
either.
The investigation would lead to a conviction of somebody. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're making it up, but out of these 2,068 cases, not all of them would be convicted in court just because there was some suspicion there might have been fraud. But even if all 2,000 are legitimate cases of fraud, that makes it one out of every 15 million votes in this country was fraudulent.
Okay.
And
why
are we screwing with election laws?
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Does it not cheapen your vote if even one person votes that is not allowed to?
Doesn't it cheapen your vote? Doesn't it cheapen your vote if a citizen who wants to vote is denied that right because of a technicality?
But how are they being denied that right? They're basically being told, prove you are who you say you are. And you're asked to do that everywhere you go for all sorts of things. So how is it an inconvenience? How is it an imposition? How is it something that takes away the rights of someone just to say, hey, you know what? You need an ID to be able to vote. And guess what? We'll give you one for free. That's not inconvenience to me. That's just saying, we want you to vote. Here's the ID to help you to do it.
How about the governor of Pennsylvania who publicly said, we put in voter laws to make sure Mitt Romney wins the state of Pennsylvania. And I did that. Job done. And he said that on video. He said it in front of a bunch of Republicans, and he didn't think he was being taped at the time. But nonetheless, he admitted that what they had done in Pennsylvania with the laws you're talking about had been designed to deliver votes for Mitt Romney.
So in this case, you'll believe a Republican in one state, one person who said whatever he happened to have said. You think that that's speaking for everyone and everything, no matter what it is, all of this boils down to what? Discrimination for you? Is that what it is? Is that what you think is behind all of this?
No. It's behind winning elections at any expense.
Of course.
Even cheating if they have to win.
They wouldn't ever do that. They're pure as the wind-driven snow. All right, let's go on to the phones here. Jerry's on the line. Jerry, welcome.
Hey, so quick question for Roger. You're talking about that this is one false vote and 15 legitimate votes.
15 million.
15 million, I'm sorry. You're assuming, of course, that those 15 million were all legitimately cast. You can't say that they got through. They're just, what you're actually saying is that out of 15 million cast votes, one was prosecuted. That doesn't mean that all of them were legitimately cast. If you look at a something online called Project Veritas, they did this last year, I think during the 2010 election, that a guy went around, went to states where there's no voter ID law, and just asked for the ballot. A couple dead people, they did it in Washington, D.C., where there's no voter ID law.
Jerry?
The guy asked for Eric Holder's ballot and was given it.
Jerry?
He said, you know, I'm the attorney general. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Here's your address. Yeah, you can have your ballot.
Jerry, why are they shortening the period of time to vote? If the only concern is fraudulent voting, why are Republicans in many states reducing the window where voting is allowed? That has nothing to do with fraudulent voting. That simply has to do with reducing the number of people who have an opportunity to vote, right?
So am I mistaken? I'm sorry, I'm missing the story here, but they're changing the window of voting from like 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Is that it? Because I'm pretty sure most polls are open from about 7 to 9.
Many states have early voting windows before the actual election day. Ohio was a good example of that, and they have shortened the number of days where you can vote. And specifically in Ohio, they wanted to end Sunday voting. But if all of these changes are based simply on reducing fraud, why are they reducing the number of days where people can vote?
Well, technically, according to the Constitution, Roger, you're officially allowed to vote on one day.
So all these states were allowing illegal voting in your mind. And the fact that they're still allowing it, they just reduced the number of days.
Let him talk. He let you talk. Go.
Sorry. This is why I drop you guys off every 2 weeks and don't listen to you and come back and then get frustrated. You know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of states allow open voting. It's up to those legislatures in those states to determine what their voting rules are.
Mm-hmm.
The requirement by the federal government is that you are allowed to vote on the first Tuesday after the first Monday. That's the only thing that is required of you. Now, the fact of the matter is by asking for a voter ID, which isn't that hard, which, as I heard another caller say before the break, you know, there's a lot of groups out there that will ensure that you make it to the polls so that you can vote, yet they are not willing you to the Secretary of State. I find that fairly amazing.
Jerry, you're still not answering the question on why, if voter fraud is the only reason for changing the election laws, they're reducing the number of days that you can vote.
Roger,
you're still not answering the question.
Anyway.
Got a break coming up. Jerry, thanks for your call. We continue ahead. Final couple minutes of the show, and Paul's been waiting patiently. Paul, you're on the line with us. Go ahead quickly.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Hi.
So Roger's position that voter ID laws are about election engineering and citing Pennsylvania governor's comment about winning Pennsylvania for Mitt Romney with his voter ID laws. I looked it up, and turns out Barack Obama won Pennsylvania. So it doesn't really seem like it's about engineering at all. It's about getting people to the polls.
So he was incompetent. He didn't accomplish his mission, is what you're saying. He wasn't trying to throw the election. He just didn't do a very good job.
So why is there a problem with it then?
If there's one case of fraud for every 15 million voters, I'm not convinced that we're fixing a real problem here.
Well, I mean, if your candidate gets 10% more people to the polls than the other candidate and, say, 0.5% of them are turned away because of a voter ID law, your candidate still wins, and the election is more pure for having only proper people voting.
One case out of every 15 million votes is not a significant problem, Jerry. One out of 15 million
that was found, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say how many that weren't found.
It's... We gotta go. Thanks, Jerry. Goodbye. Have a good night.
His name's Paul.
Actually,
by the
it's
way.
Paul.
Oh, Paul. Jerry was the previous guy.
All mm-hmm. right. We gotta go, but obviously it's something we'll have to talk about again at some point.
Perhaps.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Been listening to Lawrence and Taylor on 590 WKZO.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.